I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Amber McMillan joins me now. The writer and poet has just published a new book, The Woods, A Year on Protection Island. A lot of us in this part of the world think of what life would be like if we could leave the city and go spend some time in the woods. On a place like Protection Island, though, there are people who live there, who get there because of various circumstances, and the domestic day-to-day stuff can be interesting, if not challenging. I'll get Ms. McMillan to tell us what brought her and her family to this place, what sort of existence it was, as well as what they might have expected. We meet some interesting characters along the way, a lot who are unforgettable. The place has its history and mystery, and this view onto island life is not to be missed. Amber McMillan is the author of the poetry collection We Can't Ever Do This Again. Her work has appeared in ARC, Contemporary Verse 2, Prism International, and other journals. The website for more is at amber-mcmillan.com. The book is published by Knightwood Editions. Please welcome to the Plant Online program in the Sunshine Coast today, Amber McMillan. Ms. McMillan, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. This is just a lovely book, and it's such a marvelous insight into what life is like in a small community, an island community, especially. So for people listening to us, if you had to tell them where Protection Island is, where would you say place it on a map? Say,
Protection Island is a very small, maybe the smallest island in a long line of Gulf Islands that runs on the eastern coast of Vancouver Island. But Protection Island specifically is really close to inside of the Nanaimo Harbor, the city of Nanaimo Harbor. Yeah.
So if I'm in Vancouver, so if I wanted to go there, I'd have to go to Nanaimo and then take a boat or, and they're usually private boats, I guess, to get over there, right?
Mostly people use private boats. Yeah. But there is a ferry system, in effect, that's run by the pub on the island.
I see. Yeah. So you and your partner and you have one child. Is that right?
We do.
Yeah. So you're all originally from Ontario. Is that correct?
We are. Yeah. My daughter was actually born in Victoria, BC.
Oh, I see.
But shortly after her birth, we moved to Toronto to pursue our careers. Yeah, but my husband is from Toronto, born and raised.
Mm-hmm.
I've been back and forth my whole life. Yeah.
And so I'm assuming in Ontario, it's a pretty urban life that you guys were living, right?
Certainly.
Yeah.
Downtown. Yeah.
Right. And so what compelled you all to ditch that and go to a place like Protection Island?
Well, we had both been, at the time of leaving, which was about the spring of 2014, we had been working really hard at our careers and maybe had exhausted ourselves physically, emotionally, psychologically. And we weren't enjoying our lives anymore at all. So the early conversations began with, well, let's make a short move. Maybe just outside of the city.
Wow.
And those conversations became bigger and bigger and more ambitious until finally we arrived at the prospect of moving to Protection Island, which we thought was a good idea because of its proximity to my mother, who lived in Victoria,
mm-hmm.
still does, and some other family members on the island. There was a university in Nanaimo that I could teach at, and we thought that this might work. It had a chance of working.
Yeah, and how soon after living there did you find out that maybe it wasn't what you expected?
Well, the honeymoon period lasted for about a month or two, in which we really enjoyed island living, quiet, laid back, so no noise. No cars, and it was really what we were after. But it was about 60 or 70 days into living there that the edges of the possibility of destruction starting to show itself.
And so we read that in your book, just how it unfolds, if you will. You mentioned no cars, and I think this is something that people listening to this might not realize. There are no roads there, and so the only way to get around the island is by walking or using a golf cart, right?
Or riding a bike. Often did that, too.
It's not a big island either, right?
No, it's very small. A recent reviewer described it as a couple of football fields in size.
So you can get a sense right away. Because there are how many people that live there that you're living quite close to one another, right?
The city of Nanaimo estimates that the full-time population is about 140 on the island. And then in the summer, it can go up to twice that with sort of summer residences and rentals and so on. It's very small.
So right away you get a sense of what the people are like. You are from the city. I'm assuming that a number of people are as well, but I guess there's a sort of lifestyle that comes about once you live in a place like this, right? I mean, if you had to say paint a stereotype about the people, I mean, could you?
I think I can more now that I've had some distance from it. But at the time, I don't think I could have figured that out. No. I think one of the main points of my book is that people are the same, wherever you go. And that while it's true that a smaller community is going to have different needs and, is going to provide different opportunities for people or different ways of living for people, I don't think at the individual level we're dealing with a very big difference between, say, a person in Toronto or a person on the island.
I guess the differences are just magnified because there are fewer people and it's a smaller space, and so you have to get to know different people a lot more. I mean, you know, you have to know them a lot more, say.
You do. You get to know them more quickly because you have to. And I think that, you need to trust your neighbors and rely on your neighbors in a way that I wasn't accustomed to, you know. And so expectations are different of the neighbor or the passerby or the stranger, right? The expectation is to form a deep and binding community. However, there's a flip side to that, right, as there often is.
Yeah.
The flip side to that is a kind of, if you're not with us, you're against us.
Right. And one gets a sense of that because in reading your book and researching it a little bit more, say, online, there's a page on Facebook where people on the island some of them have started reading the book. Most of them have not, but nonetheless have an opinion on it. What's that been like?
Curious.
Yeah, what's that been like to say have this controversy surrounding the book? I guess people were concerned about the book. I mean, is that your sense of it?
Yeah, that's my sense of it. I think that when you don't know something, right? When something hasn't been given to you or explained to you, I think fears and anxieties and so on can take over, right? Most people would probably agree with that. And so there was some anxiety before the book was published that certain people's lives or their privacy might be invaded. That wasn't the case, and it isn't the case. But I think enough fear that it could have been the case.
Mm-hmm.
Became a kind of community, a way for the community to bind itself together against maybe this book.
Yeah.
Right? I think it's unfortunate that folks haven't read it because I do think that if they did, they wouldn't be afraid.
Yeah. Were
Yes.
Were you always going to write about this time and place?
No, I wasn't. When we first moved there, I had some plan to write a historical book about the area.
I see.
Because I thought the history of it was really interesting. But I didn't actually start writing that. I was really busy. I know you've read the book, but our days were quite filled, you know, from morning till night. Just sort of living on the island is a kind of full-time job. But I didn't have time to start writing, and it wasn't until later that I decided to write a memoir about my time there, because I thought it was interesting enough to put down.
Yeah. And you mentioned the history of the place, because that's also fascinating as the book unfolds, because
yeah.
you're as you're discovering the island for yourself, you find out that a lot's gone on before, right?
Yeah, yeah. A surprising amount of things have occurred there for such a small place, you know. I find it fascinating.
Yeah. It was a mine at one point, is that right?
Certainly, yeah. A very big and important mine, and an explosion, at least one explosion, yeah.
Murder as well on the island?
Murder, hangings, yeah. Escapes from the law.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of cool stuff.
Yeah, and so I guess that adds to the mystery of the place for you as you're living there and you're trying to discover it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And
I like a good mystery.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. So you mentioned that 60, 70 days after moving there, the charm of it sort of leaves.
Yeah.
So fitting in. I mean, did you ever in this year that you were there, a year or so, did you at all feel for yourself that I fit in this place?
No. And that was part of the problem early on is we noticed that we weren't being invited to participate in any of the island gatherings or events or anything like that. We weren't, for example, there's a phone book that is included every year and people need to update their phone numbers and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't asked, to be included in the phone book. Certain things like that led us eventually to assume that we either weren't welcome or perhaps there's a transitory nature to this place where people come and go a lot. And so it's not taken seriously when someone moves there.
Yeah.
I learned later that it's not that transitory.
Hmm.
It's true, people come and go in the summer. They rent cabins and so on for a few weeks in the summer. But we were, we were full-time residents. And, we had a really hard time fitting in. We never did. So that makes it hard from a social perspective.
Yeah.
And an emotional perspective, I think.
Now, say if you had to do it again, would there be things that you'd do differently?
I wouldn't have moved to that island.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. If I were to do it again. But I don't, like I say in the afterword, I don't regret it because I've learned a lot from that experience.
Yeah.
And I think it's an important experience to have, to not fit in, to not belong.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's okay.
Yeah, and in the sense that I got it as I'm reading the book is that you in particular learn about yourself. Is that true from my read of it?
Yeah, and that's certainly what I was hoping you would get as a reader. Yeah, is that this is a, like all things, right? You can learn from it or not. That's the choice we have, right? So, I learned about myself, and I think I still am learning. About that as the book goes through its life, right? Early publication, some feedback, certainly some of the islanders' response to the book. I think I'm still learning from that same experience, from that same initial decision to move there.
Does it change your thoughts on, say, city life and whether you'd go back to, say, downtown Toronto or even downtown Vancouver, say?
Yeah, I do think that, while on one hand I maintain people are the same wherever you go at a sort of fundamental level, I do think that there's a really different set of skills that's required of a person living in a city or a person living on a small island, right? And those skills only seem to have any value or purchase in those environments, right? Like, I've often imagined what would be harder, moving from Toronto to Protection Island or moving from Protection Island to Toronto.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah. And most of the people, I mean, are there folks there that were born there and that have lived there their whole lives, or have they sort of moved there after a certain period of time and then have stayed there for a number of years, say?
Yeah, it's more the second. Only because people didn't start living there until around 1960, so that doesn't give us a whole lot of time to have been from the island, right?
Yeah.
One or two people that I met were born there and grew up there. But by and large, people move there from somewhere else. Yeah.
And for amenities and basic day-to-day stuff, like food, for example, you'd have to leave to go get that, like to go to the grocery store, say, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd have to walk down to the dock or the ferry, and then you'd have to get in a boat. Get to Nanaimo, which is depends on the speed of your boat, but could be anywhere from 5 to 15 minutes. But then you have to tie up, et cetera. And then from there you've got to walk to the grocery store, go grocery shopping, come back to your boat and do the same thing on the way back. And that whole excursion is time consuming, but also very physically, challenging. So, yeah. It's nothing like going to a grocery store, getting in your car and driving to a grocery store.
Yeah.
And going back. So, and if you forget something, you know, it's pretty frustrating.
Yeah. Well, what sort of animals are on Protection Island that you say you'd encounter during your day?
Well, because it's so small, you don't actually get any big predators. So, we had deer. That's about as big as it got.
Yeah.
There were smaller rodents and birds and stuff, but certainly no lions, tigers, and bears.
Yeah, and
it wasn't big enough.
Yeah, and so do folks? I mean, is it like the city now where most people don't have landlines, or they still? Because we all have cell phones now. How does that work there?
Yeah. Well, it's totally equipped for stuff like Wi-Fi, cable.
Yeah.
Landlines, cell phones, Facebook.
Yeah,
it's all there. But there's no other, there's no forms of entertainment other than the pub, because the pub is the only commercial outpost on the island. So for example, you couldn't go see a movie or go shopping or go to the swimming pool or something like that.
So where you live now, I'm assuming it's not as small a community as it was, right? As Protection Island was, say.
No, it's quite a bit larger, but also, compared to Toronto, it's minuscule.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, it's several thousand residents, but it has a public school and a grocery store. Public pool and a doctor. And that's another thing about living on an island is you really worry about the potential of disaster, to your physical body, because if something were to happen, if there was an accident, you're relying on Nanaimo paramedics to cross the water to get to you, right? There's a sense of treachery about that.
What are you I've always wondered this now, because I live in the city. A lot of us in the city think, you know, if we want to get away for a vacation or for a weekend, say, we would go to some place like this. I mean, now that you've lived there, what's a weekend getaway? What's a vacation for you guys?
That's a good question, actually, because my mother said to me the other day, you know, sometime we should all get away and we should go get a cabin in Tofino or something. And I laughed and I said to her, you know, that's my day-to-day. It's not a vacation, you know, to go to a cabin in the woods. I mean, I live in a cabin in the woods. That's a funny question, because maybe a weekend getaway for us is going to Vancouver, which is what we've been doing.
Getting stuck in traffic.
The traffic sucks no matter what you do. But it's exciting, and there's people and music, and you know, and that's actually a weekend getaway for us now.
Yeah.
So that's hilarious.
Yeah. Well, would you ever go back to Protection Island even just for a visit, say?
I don't think I can. I don't think I'm welcome.
Mm.
Yeah, to be honest.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. It's a fascinating book, because it makes you think about not just what you go through, what you all go through as a family, but you know, it's made me think about, you know, because I've always thought that, like, you know, for a weekend, get away, go someplace. And then you realize, you know, people live there. It's their day-to-day life, and it's almost, I mean, you know, it's their day-to-day life and not a novelty as it would be for me.
Yeah.
But it's a beautifully written book, and I appreciate your time today. Congratulations on it, and continued good luck with it.
Thanks very much. Yeah, this has been a fun talk.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. Yeah.
You're very welcome. The same for me. The website for more, amber-mcmillan.com. The book is called The Woods, A Year on Protection Island. It's from Knightwood Editions. It's author Amber McMillan. Join me on the line from the Sunshine Coast in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plante.